It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be. The things we ignore, but we all can see. Darkness it flees when scattered by the light. Blindly obvious, hidden in plain sight.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are talking the conversation of frenemies. Now, Jeff, you ever heard that expression, the enemy of my enemy is my friend?
Yes.
You know, I don't really know if that's true or not, that just because you share an experience of maybe not liking or agreeing with somebody that you're friends, I guess maybe momentarily, but what's your thoughts on frenemies, Jeff? You have any?
Did you see in Cincinnati, it made Fox News today, there was a mob that attacked this one couple and beat them.
Oh, yeah, they were leaving that jazz festival.
Is that what it was? I don't know. Something happened, yep. but it became a black and white issue, apparently, because it was...
No way. I know. Everything's gray in our society. There's no... Oh, you're talking...
I found out from it from I'll post it in the a link in there on Rumble. This black guy was talking about it, saying that he's basically embarrassed and ashamed because clearly it looked racially motivated. Maybe it wasn't, but it looked, in his view, racially motivated and hypocritical, because if the roles had been reversed and a bunch of white people were punching on a black couple, there would be an upheaval in the media.
Now that I can 100% agree with you on. If the roles were reversed, mm-hmm. there absolutely would be wall-to-wall coverage. The coverage does seem to be a little less than
right
on this occasion. But where I am going to push back is in the immediately going out as the newscast and finding somebody who's willing to come on and say, you know, this seems racially motivated. And maybe it was. I'm not saying it was.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, we don't
I'm know. Just saying... We, every time on this side of the fence, always go, well, hold on. We don't know. And we don't know. That's exactly. We truly do not know. So let's pump the brakes
sure,
on that.
Sure, sure. But the optics is what
And let's say, just because these people happen to be black and did this, that doesn't speak for all black people. Just like when you have some people who are white and do stupid things, they don't speak for all white people.
No, yeah. You even saw some black people pulling some of the other black people who are wailing on these people on the ground.
Yes.
Pulling them off. So,
and it's exactly because it's just character, man. It has nothing to do with what color your skin is. It's what kind of character do you have?
If this was or wasn't, we do know there are racially motivated attacks that do occur.
Oh, sure.
People who are of diverse backgrounds will say, those are my people based upon their skin color.
Mm, yes.
I have heard that. I still hear that. And I know there are people who think that way.
I mean, we'd have to call that like tribalism, right?
It is. It's tribalism. Sure. So that does occur. So I can't speak to this situation. It was a black guy calling out the black community, saying, in his view, mm-hmm. this happens far too often and we don't call it out. And he was trying to. So
sure. And I mean, in fairness to him, fair enough.
Right. But what I was trying to say is I do know what occurs.
Mm-hmm. I think a good place you see this, where you could say people almost become friends in the moment of teaming up on someone, is how about on social media?
Oh, good example.
You could just, I mean, it's almost like you see a triangle sometimes, or even just a pile on of like a curb stomping of someone, where people just come and have their way. And I always feel like say things that if it were in a personal physical space probably would not be said, right? But much easier to say things behind a keyboard. And I'm not saying I haven't been guilty of the same thing at times. I'm just saying if we were in a physical space, those things wouldn't be said often, right?
You know, and tribalism doesn't have to be on race. If you think about it, we saw the same thing happen. We call it patriotism, but it's still sure. a tribalism. Like when there's been an attack, like Pearl Harbor, or they said like 9/11, or you know, yep. the one that we hear often referenced today, which is a, you know, dog whistle, January 6th, where one group supposedly did something and...
Let's just call it this. You can see a pattern of large-scale events that are used to spark people's engagement into entering war.
And take sides, yeah. Take sides with whoever, and often, usually, it's people of very diverse backgrounds. education, culture, experience, social status, all these things. They're very diverse, but for whatever the issue is, the glue that brings them together, it's enough for them to take team together and annihilate the other side.
It's everywhere. Look, it's yeah. in religion.
Politics, religion. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
in every yeah. scope of life.
Yeah. As Americans, it's been used against us time and time again, and it works. We take sides.
It's all because we allow it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think we're ignorant of what's happening.
It's just like the example you just gave in the opening. Should we be taking sides based upon the color of our skin and the situation, or should we be taking sides based upon the moral values and character of what's right in the situation?
I would think that'd be
as simple as that.
Yeah, I would think it'd be an easy answer.
The color should literally, and I feel like I'm a fair judge of this in this case because the color clearly doesn't matter to me, right?
Right.
And I just don't understand.
Because you're blind, you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. I want to make sure everybody understood that.
Yeah, I don't understand how anything else in the equation would, like, that I would automatically, oh, well, because I'm white, I automatically got to take the white person's side. Like, that's nonsense.
I'll tell you why. Because racism is something we always believe other people suffer from and we don't. And second, we're shallow. We're a lot more shallow than we realize. What do they call it? The lizard brain? When all your manners and whatever else go out the window and you're stressed and you just kind of default to your basic prime directive.
And let's be fair. Society has created both sides of people who are into this tribalism of race in this equation. Both sides can point to evidence, point to occurrences in which they're validated for how they feel about their experience. Instead of stepping back and saying, this may have happened to me. It may be unfair. It may be unjust. I'm not saying that's not true. But is that in totality what's happening to everyone? That would be like me saying, I'm blind. I can't see. But does that mean the whole world also can't see either?
Part of the way that we learn is modeling, right? So your parents model behavior for you as a child. Often it's why you pick up traits that your parents, whether it be mannerisms to cadence of voice or the jokes you tell, they say, he's a spitting image, you know, of his daddy.
You're, or the apple don't fall far from the tree. Right.
In the animal kingdom, whether we're talking wolves to apes, and I couldn't tell you other animals right now at the moment, but you see this pecking order where there's an alpha male and there's the omega, like the last. And in a wolf pack, for example, all the wolves pick on the omega. It's okay to beat up on the omega. So you see this, even in, they're all a pack. They're all buddies, if you will. They're all one big family. But even in the animal kingdom, we see this. And it's funny. It seems like, I'm not saying that we are animals, but sometimes we see the way animals act and we default to that and model their behavior rather than use our intellect, problem solve, and reach beyond the moment and be better than what we otherwise would be. And as you talked about, pursuing a greater ideal that benefits all.
Sure. I think personally, the less spiritual we are, the more animalistic we are.
Well, I think you're going, what else, what other examples do you have? The opening statement, you said frenemy, and that already is kind of, in my view, a context clue of how we're going to talk about this. When you were a child, when you were younger, or even before you were a Christian, you didn't refer to people you didn't like or you hated as frenemies. You called them my enemies.
Right.
And the reason why we use the word frenemy is because Jesus taught us a better way. Don't hate those who hate you. Love and be kind to those who mistreat you. That's a completely different approach. It's very unnatural. It's probably one of the hardest teachings of Jesus for me personally. But I live it out painfully so, but live it out what Christ did for me. Because there was a time when I was his enemy, and I am fully cognizant when I was at my worst, he loved me and suffered the greatest penalty for me and purchased my salvation. Whoa.
Hmm.
And then he says, go and do that for others. Okay. No big deal. No big deal. I got a story on this, by the way. There was a misunderstanding I had with a neighbor where, I won't get into specifics, but the entire family almost of the men came outside and circled around me. We had about a 30-minute discussion about what happened. in the end, couldn't be resolved. So they called the police. The police came, which was interesting. Came and knocked on my door, came and got my report, got their report. Long story short, the police said, hey, look, you know, it's probably best. No crime here has been committed, but I don't know why we were called in the first place, but no crime has been committed. I think it's just best that you guys don't even talk to each other. And so that's pretty much the way it's been left for about a year, a little over a year now.
So everybody's just been leaving each other alone. Yep. Just,
I mean, and they're like right next to my house. I see them all the time. So I'm out. It's a Friday. That's my day off. I try and do things around the house and the honey-do list and my own list, right? Try and get things taken care of and picked up. And I'm out in my garage talking to my younger brother on the phone. And I hear the other neighbor's German Shepherd just going nuts. And it's a little aggressive, and it got off the leash. And this one neighbor that we're not on speaking terms, was being circled by this dog, and it's snapping at this neighbor. They had just gotten back from the grocery store. It's the mother, and I guess her mother. It was a grandmother-aged woman and a middle-aged woman, maybe in her 50s, about to go inside with their groceries, and this German Shepherd is circling them, not letting them move, snapping at them aggressively. The neighbor who owns the dog can't control it.
Okay.
And I'm watching this happen. Now, we're not on speaking terms, remember? And I'm like, what do I do here? There's what I should do, and there's what I want to do.
Yeah, just go inside.
I wanted to
Put your garage door down.
To close the garage door.
Be a good German.
What a term. A way to describe it. That is so, yeah. Are you going to be Hitlerian?
Yeah, exactly. You don't hear anything.
So I said to my brother, look, man, this all happened like a half a second window. All this in my head. Man, dude, let me call you back. I said, I need to go get this dog off my neighbor. I'll call you back. He goes, all right, call me back. So I walk over there and I start yelling at this dog because it's snapping at this woman. It's about to bite her hand. She's trying to pick her hands up with her groceries. And you can see she's scared to death. Rightfully
so. Makes sense, yeah.
Rightfully so. And so I'm yelling at this dog, trying to get the dog's attention on me. And I run up on it. And yes, I came up so fast, I scared the dog. It ran from me. And the neighbor's trying to get her own dog. I think she's scared of her own dog. Trying to get this dog off the neighbor. And I don't think it had bitten her. Thank God. The dog ran to get inside its house. It was so scared of me, it went into its own house. Like what the owner couldn't get it to do, it did on its own.
Watch out for the big bad wolf
over here. I'm
telling you,
dude. Yeah, that's it. So anyway, that neighbor who hasn't spoken to me in over a year, she looked at me and she said, thank you.
Oh, well, sounds like y'all good then.
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, to be fair though, your issue wasn't with her in the first place.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
So how do we get to a space where we maybe stop the tribalistic culture in every sense? I mean, I know we've pointed out a couple of different angles here, you know, the race angle and whatever it may be, but man, it's everywhere. It's in every aspect of life. There is some form of tribal, all the way down to the things we enjoy for entertainment, man. Pick your favorite sports team. If I'm a Buckeyes fan and you're a Wolverines fan, we can't talk on Saturdays for 6 months. Like, dude, that's so stupid. People take it that serious.
Yeah.
And the reason I laugh at it is because I was not that serious, but I was one of those people that took that super serious. And man, how goofy when you explain it like that. Like, it is just a game.
Yeah.
But people get that serious. They literally fight in the parking lot afterwards because they get all boozed up.
Oh, there's riots over games. Yeah. Who wins, who loses.
Let's burn the city down, man, because we got a trophy. That's just out of hand, man. Out of hand people. It has nothing to do with your color. It's just out of hand people.
I'm pretty sure you disagree with people still to this day. You're a Christian. You've been a Christian how many years now?
Probably like four good ones.
Going with 4 years?
Yeah, four good ones, I'd say.
Would you say since you've been a Christian, you deal with people you disagree with differently?
Oh, yeah. Just the difference of changing my mindset or my way of thinking from what I think, what I want to, you know, God's way of thinking would be to act like this and to start kind of getting myself into patterns of thinking that way and acting in that way. And then it kind of just becomes your thoughts or your response, right? Is to be God's response. Now, am I perfect at that? Heck no.
Oh, no.
But that's kind of my way of attempting to better myself and moving forward.
This past Sunday, you missed church, but we were discussing this about controversies that the church had to navigate, you know, because there's always errors, there's always mistakes, there's always people who need to be corrected. But what was interesting is we're talking about this issue, I noticed the way in which the church addressed the controversy is very, very different than the way we do. For example, we like to say, you're wrong. We like to say, that's my enemy. I don't like that person. But when you look in the Bible at the language that they use as they talk to people they disagreed with, they often refer to them as friend or brother as opposed to enemy. The way they refer to the person they disagreed with, they brought them into an intimate term as opposed to giving them one.
Well, but think about that. That changes up the whole concept.
Doesn't it?
If you're viewing someone going in as your enemy, what kind of emotion does that invoke out of you?
Well, a war.
You're already thinking, I don't like him. I'm angry. I'm mad. How can I get one over on him? Yeah. They're not going to get me. No way. Versus, hey, man, I'm going to go sit down with my friend who, you know, I don't always agree with, but at the end, we can always shake hands and be like, yeah, that's cool.
And what's that whole thing Jesus said to, if somebody asked you to walk a mile with them, walk two? I mean, don't just do what they ask you to do. And by the way, it's your enemy, the person that's asking this of you, who's demanding something of you. And it was in reference to the Romans who were persecuting God's people, saying, don't just give them what they ask for, give them extra.
And see, for me, I'm trying to separate the somebody that I don't agree with, just like on, let's just say, like, I don't agree with them politically, or I don't agree with them on our favorite sport, just basic level things, right? That I'm trying to separate that to where, like, I'm sitting here thinking, man, I could sit down with anybody that I didn't agree with like that, and it really wouldn't bother me whatsoever to talk with them, right? But now I'm trying to separate and go to that next level of like, well, what about somebody that you really just actually don't like? Like, you truly don't like them. You don't want to be around them. You don't want to spend time with them. What about that?
There have been many people who have done horrific and said horrific things about me, tried to hurt me or my family, even here since I've been in Ohio. And listen, this is a shocker. Sometimes even Christians don't get along. What I try and remember, as you just said, there are people I don't like, but and by the way, God does not command me to like everyone, but he does command me to love everyone. So to buffer that, first of all, if I'm to love my enemy, like and love can overlap, right? So they can look very similar. For example, if I like you, I may go get a Coke for you out of your refrigerator. If I love you, I may go into the refrigerator and get a Coke out for you, right? I mean, maybe the way in which I did it, maybe the eagerness I might have would be different if I liked you versus just loved you. But if I like you, I also love you, right? Does that make sense? I love and like you.
Basically, you don't necessarily like all people, but you display love towards them.
That's my goal. I don't think that I always succeed in that, but that's sure. my baseline. The very least, every person deserves love.
So it's not that you necessarily love them. It's that you're loving on them.
That's a good way to put it. The Bible describes love as not a feeling like we do in America. That's a great nuance to discuss. Love is an action.
And you're right. We do, myself included, man. We think of it more on the emotional. I think we put love into that category of, as you were just describing, like.
Yes.
To where love is more of a shared, it's an action that you can reciprocate towards someone to show them love.
Right.
It means you're loving on them.
Loving on them. Well, when you understand why we're told to love people, even including our enemies, it changes everything. So humanize that person. For example, this man or this woman that you dislike, that you would have called your enemy, is somebody's daughter, somebody's son, somebody's husband, somebody's dad, somebody's grandmother, whatever it is, but humanize them. They're loved by somebody, and at their best, there's probably a lot to love about them. Second, we're told to love them because to God, they have value. And if I love God the way I think I do, that alone is reason for me to ascribe the same value to that person.
That's actually a good way. What you just said, if I loved God like I think I do, that's a good test for any, not even just with this, but just any situation you kind of find yourself in. And then you get to look back and think, well, how did I respond to this? Or what did I take away from that? To think, you know, if I really love God, is that what I would have done if I was truly walking in faith? Is that the decision I would have made? And sometimes yes, and sometimes no. Meaning like, hey man, in this area of my life, I got to do a little, I need to get better. I need to improve here and get back on the path.
Well, what helps me with the scenarios when someone is mistreating me, I want to react with the old Jeff and the new Jeff that I have become in Christ is learning, you know, again, from how God loved me when I was his enemy. Part of the buffer for me, again, when I humanize this person, again, not only giving them value, okay, I can do that part and still be mad at them, but when I want to react and respond in kind or mirror their behavior, again, I remember that's somebody's son, that's somebody's father. I'm going to put it all in the masculine. That's somebody's dad. And would I want my son to respond to me the way I'm thinking right now toward him? Would I be proud of myself if I said to my father what I want to say to this guy right now? would I have honored Christ if I expressed what I'm feeling right now the way I want to say it and that harshness that I want to express it through? If I said it this way, would that bring me and my brother closer together? And so it creates a buffer and it makes me hit pause as opposed to being impulsive.
But you got
to
have that. You got to have that beginning concept of flipping those words of viewing, right? Of enemy versus friend.
Yeah.
If you're looking at them as your enemy, all of the things you just described aren't going to happen.
Right. Because
you've already shut yourself out to
right.
them.
Right.
So that, you're not open to it happening.
That's the first step. I think you've got to stop calling them your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody you have a misunderstanding with. And I like that phrase because it means that there's always the hope of having an understanding. Mm-hmm. And if you walk in that way, it's why I'm not afraid of conflict. I will walk right into conflict because I actually believe that this can be fixed. This can be resolved. I think 90% of arguments and fights, actual fist fights, are the result of a deep misunderstanding. And often it's because of your own previous hurts with somebody else.
Sure.
Not even related to the situation you're in. And you're projecting on somebody an unfair stereotype or understanding that doesn't even describe the situation you're in. So if you can just, if one of you, typically it just takes one, if one of you can be at your absolute best and treat the other person with respect and love, typically people mirror that. Not always, but typically.
Imagine this. Imagine being able to have this type of love. You're sitting at the table with a dude that you know is going to betray you. He's at the table. You already know man. It. He's at the table. And you still wash the dude's feet. Like, so metaphorically, like you basically bow to this guy and you're willing to do that for someone you know is going to betray you. Man, I can't say I'm at that.
Similar situations in your own life where someone did something so kind for you. You're like, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Like you can't afford that or I don't need this or, but you're embarrassed because this person has lowered themselves and elevated
to
you
to such a level. You're like,
yeah,
dang.
No, I'm not going to let
much.
You.
Yeah, yeah, I don't need that.
I'm not going to let you do that.
Mm-hmm. I think what's most impressive for me is the ability to separate from, imagine like just as a human perspective, your God. So imagine the ego that brings about, no, I already know you're going to betray me. So the ego, right? I already know that I would just banish you from this table right now. You're gone. To be able to separate from that because of what you must do. That's amazing.
You know what? Another side note I learned from Jesus and how he treated Judas. Look, there really are people like him in the church and the world all over who are so evil that no matter what you did, they would wish and want the worst for you. They would. Why? Because they're evil. But what you see with Jesus, what if you follow what he taught us, you know, you don't have to make it easy for them. And what I mean by it is this. It's a whole lot easier to be mean to somebody who's first being mean to you. You know what's hard to do? Be mean to somebody who's being nice to you.
That's true.
Who refuses to mirror your ugliness and is always sweet as southern pie.
Just, and it automatically changes up the energy of the situation.
It does.
Like when someone's trying to be angry and then the other person is reciprocating with just, like in some form of kindness, it just diffuses the energy. It doesn't have an opportunity to feed, fester, and grow into something that everyone ends up in the end in some form of a regret.
95%+ of the time in all the altercations I've ever had, well, 100% of them so far, even when people have been threatened violence on me, it has not resulted in violence. And there are things that I could have said that would have ensured it happened. But I did my part
to make it
very difficult for them to swing on me. Not because I was going to block it, but because I refused to mirror their bad behavior. So in other words, somebody in the room has to be Jesus, and you are that somebody. And if we all assumed that role, that I'm going to be just like the God I serve, man, it changes things. But 95% of the time, 95%, the person who's mad at me, the people who came and wanting to destroy me, ended up becoming my friend. Ended up saying, hey, I'm sorry, and I'm so glad we had this conversation. And we work it out, and we walk away friends, not enemies. Mm. They were my frenemy. In other words, there was a hope that one day they'd be my friend, but right now they want to be my enemy. But the hope is that one day we can be friends.
And now you guys are fishing buddies.
Yeah. Hey, it happens. It happens.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
We're walking past the signs each day in little things missed along the way. The symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Misdirection, the magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be, the things we ignore, but we all can see. Darkness, it flees when scattered by the light. Blindly obvious, hidden in plain sight. What's on display? We cover the truth and look away. The mirror reflects, but we close our eyes, blind to the faces, screaming beautiful lies. Back to you. Oh, I can see it. Can you see it too? Oh, I can. can see it. The roads lead back